Now we have a fascinating new question. We talked about Rabbi Yossi Shita, and Rabbi Yossi says that the Yamim have a din of a Mayan, which means that you can actually be Tevel even if it's in movement. Fine. So, if that would be the case, how about if you're sitting on a seashore, and this happens surprisingly often, you're sitting calmly on a seashore, minding your own business, eating a sandwich, and suddenly you find yourself drenched. Why? Because some rogue wave came and curved over, and actually, when it collapsed down onto the beach, it collapsed right over little old you. Now, the question is that considered to be a proper tefillah? Because, I mean, you didn't go into the sea came to you. So would that also be considered to be a chibur to the Mayan, which is the ocean? So most learn that, therefore, this whole discussion is only a libid Rabbi Yossi, that the din over here is a Mayan. So even though this would be like Zohalin, it would still be considered to be a Mayan, but it has to be touching the ground. So it's only when it lands on the ground, it goes over you. You can't just be Tevel Ba'avir, which means two things. This is the whole sugya in the Gemara in Chulin. You cannot be Tovel in under the crest of the wave. So let's say you're actually doing some really fancy surfing, okay? And you surf as the wave goes over you. The crest of the wave curves over you. You're in the curl of that wave, which is really very impressive when you see it done. Does that mean that you were surrounded by water and now you were actually Tevel? Because you were surrounded by water. I mean, maybe water didn't touch you, but you were still surrounded by water. Really cute, huh? Ein tovlin ba'avir, as the Gemara says. There's two elements to that. You cannot be tovel in air. You need to be tovel in water. But what's also true is you cannot be tovel in water that is not connected to the ground. And over here, it's connected to the sea, but it's not on the ground yet. So this is a weird kind of situation. So it's something like a mikvah and something like a mayan. And the question is, when it comes and lands over you and everything splashes, is that considered to be a tefillah? Now, the Gemara in Chulin makes it more complicated because there it brings it up in conjunction with the question of kavana l'tefillah. You need to have intent for whatever it is. If you're going to be eating truma, then if you're tevel l'truma, it's good for truma. But if you're tevel only for meiser, then it's not good for truma, and it's certainly not good enough for kadesh, and so on and so forth. Here, the Mishnah is talking about some person did not have any kavana, possibly, and nonetheless, it's considered to be, for chulin, it's considered to be a proper tefillah. You're considered to be tohar. So we're going to get into the issues of whether you had intention or not. If you hold that you need intention, and the Mishnah is even talking about tefillah for kodesh and so on, so then, as the Gemara says, it's talking about b'mitzapa imasayav o'agav. He's sitting there and waiting. He knows every 30 minutes or so there's going to be one of these big interference patterns in which the resonance in the yam gets an enormous wave. So he waits for the 30 minutes until he gets one of those waves. So he's Yoshev u'mitzapa. Okay, that could be also the case. But what's important to us over here is the fact that even though the wave is, and you're not in the yam can be mitayer you, which is a beautiful new idea. So this is the gal shenitlash. A wave is now curving over you. It's not over the sea anymore. And it has in it arba'im sa'a. Because since, now this is the question, why do you need arba'im sa'a if we're talking about specifically the din of Aliba de Rabbi Yossi? We said that it has a din of Vamayan. And a din of Vamayan is that there's no minimum, right? Okay, but remember that we talked about the question, and this is really a machlokas, the Shach and the Taz, whether a person always needs arba'im sa'a, because that was the takana of what is necessary for a person to be completely surrounded by water. So according to that, even if you are a small person, it would still be a general halacha that even if you are a dwarf or it's a child and fit it to less than arba'im sa'a, you would still need to have the arba'im sa'a. Okay, so that is certainly a possibility, and that would explain why you would need arba'im sa'a. That's the Tasashita, and it's brought the way he understands the Shulchan Aruch. The Shach holds that the point over here is that a gal does not have that din of a mayan because it's no longer mechuber to the place where it is a mayan, which is in the yam itself. Since it's already curved over the land, that's why it needs arba'im sa'a. But he holds you don't necessarily need arba'im sa'a in a mayan. If it's a small child, a small person, it could be a mayan that has less than arba'im sa'a. Fine. So here we talk about it's being metayer both Adam and Kalim. Komakom sheyesh bo arba'im sa'a tovlin umadbilin. Another important thing to know is that this, despite all of the chumras that we have with mikvahs, we have many, many chumras, and normally we're chayish that if something is just in an indentation in the earth, that that's not going to be a kosher mikvah, because the water is going to be seeping out. There's all kinds of machlokas and all kinds of chumras halacha lemaisa, which we'll discuss at the end of all of this, of how much seepage is considered to be zochlin. How much water do you need to be losing in order for it to be zochlin? The Mishnah over here is talking about a normal case where the ground is saturated, the water doesn't leak out very quickly, and therefore, it really, you don't have to have a special mikveh that is all beautifully constructed and has a stamp on it from the Vada Mikvahs, and so on and so forth. Kol makom sheyesh bo arba'im sa'ah, you have a hole in the ground that holds 40 saws, and it got filled with water that is natural water, rainwater. You can be tovlin umadbilin. You can tovel yourself, or you can be matpil your hands for kodesh. Remember, we learned in Chagiga that for kodesh, you actually need to have a tefillah of your hands, not a netilah. And doesn't matter what it's shaped like. You can be matpilin b'charitzin ubeni'itzin. Most learn the word na'itz means something that is like a na'atz, like a what's the word in English? Where it's thin on the bottom and you press it in. So it's shaped like a ni'itza. So it's narrow down at the bottom. It's, what would you call, like a tack? Na'atz is a tack. So it's shaped like that. For that matter, you could even be tevel in an area that a donkey walked and the donkey left footprints. Obviously, one of those footprints is not going to hold our volume. So, but if that footprint is at the edge of a puddle, and now it's mechuber with a shear that is big enough, which is the shtei etzpaot, kishmaferet hanod, then you could put your jewelry, that stomach, you could put it into the donkey's hoof print and put it into the water there that's mechuber to the mikvah. Or for that matter, the way others learn is that we're talking about over here, these hoof prints are in the mud, and each one is mechuber to the other, through Shvoferet Anod, that if you get 40 sa'a of water between all of these hoof prints, so then you could use any of them as a mikveh for something that fits into that mikveh. So, b'parsata chamor ha'ma'orevet b'bika'a, as long as it's all together with, through its side, it's missing the side, so it's all mu'orevet, or mu'orevet directly with a big puddle, or mu'orevet through the actual parsata chamor, that would be even enough as a kosher mikvah. Don't say this in Bnei Brak without protection. Now, Beit Shammai Omrim, you can actually be tovel in a chardalit. And a chardalit is dafka megishomim, but it's megishomim that have gathered on top of a mountain, and they are now flowing with real force down the side of a mountain. So the fact that it's zochalin doesn't matter. As long as it's a natural flow from off of the mountain, that is good enough. Whereas Beit Hillel says, you cannot be matpil because it's not mayan, and therefore you need to have arba'im sa'a in one place. So according to Beit Hillel, only a mayan is matpil b'zochalin and not fresh water that has fallen on the mountain. But Beit Hillel is modeh, shehu goder kelim v'tovel behem. It's just that the kelim shegadar behem lo hudbal. So Beis Hillel is made that if, let's say, you put a bunch of even kelim that are shayach to be makabel tuma, and you make like a dam out of those kelim, and the water is blocked by those kelim as it flowed off down the mountain, now it can't go beyond your kelim, that it creates a kosher mikveh because it's no longer zochalim. And if it's not Zohalim, so then you'll be able to be Tovel in the mikveh. The thing is that the Kli that stopped the water itself will not be Tahar from that water, because it's only being exposed to that water from one side. Now, the obvious problem with this mikveh, with this Mishnah, is that it seems to be saying the exact opposite of what we learned yesterday. So what we said yesterday, Liba de Rabbi Yossi, is that you cannot utilize Havayatana Yedei Tuma to create the mikveh, right? So if there was, let's say, a hole in the mikveh, we said, you can't put your thumb in the hole, because even if you're Tahar, because you are able to be Makabel Tuma. And you can't plug it up with something that is Makabel Tuma, even if it's only Makabel Tuma the Rabbanan, like stuffing it up with a cane, the way the Rambam understood it. So how in the world can you create a mikveh by making a dam on this one side? So because of this, there are many strange interpretations of this Mishnah. Especially take a look at the Tosfos Yontev, has a lot of possibilities. Very non-persuasive, I must say, but it seems to be an impossible problem. The truth is, if you look at the specifics of the Hardalit, as opposed to a normal situation in which you have water that is leaking out of a mikvah, and you think that they're exactly the same case, I mean, you're left with the problem of how is blocking one part of a moving stream of water, which is going to be going over the blockage or going around the blockage, and what does that have to do with putting something in a hole in a mikvah, and how does that address the fact that it has to be ashiborah? Is there a state between Ashboran and Zohalin, which is called Chardalit? This is the question that we have to keep in mind when we analyze the Machlokas Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel themselves, which is not all over here, but it's going to be brought up again and again. So we'll talk about it as we go. But it certainly seems, on the surface, that what Beit Shammai is referring to is not a complete bittul of the din of Ashboran, but is limited to this idea of Chardalit. And that when we're talking about blocking a Chardalit, which is good enough for Beis Hillel, we're not talking about the same thing as stuffing up a hole in Ashboran. Okay, it's something to think about, to be continued. Have a wonderful day, gentlemen. Looking forward to learning again.